You're listening to the Business Forum Show, broadcast worldwide on Blog Talk Radio, Liberated Syndication, iTunes, and multiple media channels connected to the TBFS radio network. This top-ranked business talk radio show features the obstacles and challenges that are common to business everywhere around the world. Most importantly, you'll connect with thousands of success stories on how business people overcame these hurdles on their road to success. For any business owner in our listening audience who's facing a particular problem or challenge that you've not been able to solve, you might be concerned about your future, or you're just not satisfied with the financial results in your company. Reach out to us here on the broadcast at info@thebusinessforumshow.com. We'll be happy to put you in touch with hundreds of resources that you may not have been aware are available to your business today, many of which are free. For those of you needing a professional level of assistance in your organization, many of the hosts on the broadcast also coach business owners outside of the show. We have visited with thousands of business people, seeing their struggles and challenges and their solutions to these problems. We have a clue what's working and what's not. So please don't hesitate to reach out to us today at info@thebusinessforumshow.com. On behalf of David Ford, Jeff O'Brien, and the TBFS radio staff, I'm Kevin Hunter. Stay tuned. The Business Forum Show is next. Kevin Hunter with Jeff O'Brien here on the Business Forum Show, talking about breweries today and the 10 legal steps involved in getting one started. And we've covered the first four: choosing a name, forming an entity, and getting trademarks filed for both the brewery and the beer names chosen for the brewery as well. So what's next on the list here, Jeff?
Well, Kevin, you know, obviously you have to have a place to do all to brew beer.
Sure.
And, you know, it has to be a building that the federal government is, you know, when you go apply for your license through the TTB, is going to be okay with.
Mm-hmm.
So your basement is not an option.
So it can't be just any place.
No. It's hard to fit the commercial tanks and fermenters and everything else into your, you know, into your garage. You do have to, you know, mm-hmm. find a space, and it could be lots of different things. It all depends on what your business plan says. Do you want to be a micro brewery, or do you have some kind of intention to grow and become a regional or a national player in the market? And all that goes, that all considerations in terms of finding your space. And you really should work with someone who is, you know, a commercial real estate broker who's knowledgeable in what your business needs are, because you're going to have to make sure you've got good water.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to have to make sure that, like I said, that the building can accommodate the equipment that you're bringing in there. And a lot of times in this day and age, you know, such as here in Minnesota, where our breweries can have tap rooms where people can sit there and purchase pints of beer at the brewery, you want to make sure that you have a space that's amenable to that. Not
mm-hmm.
only production, you know, producing the beer, but having an area where people can sit down and consume it, as you know, purchase it and consume it.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, build out considerations and things like that. So most of the time, you know, you're going to be looking at leasing space. Once in a while, someone is able to, has the financial means to purchase real estate, and then they would lease it back to the brewery entity. We don't
mm-hmm.
recommend putting everything in one, especially in an area where they have a business that has alcohol involved. There's always liability.
Mm-hmm.
So they want to make a valuable asset like real estate. We don't want to put that on the line as part of the business. So, you know, you want to look for a leased space. And you're going to look at leases kind of come in two varieties when you're talking about commercial leases. They're called triple net or gross leases. Triple
mm-hmm.
net is where you pay a base rent plus some percentage of the expenses of the property. So it could, you know, taxes, insurance, utilities, you know, maintenance costs. If it's a multi-tenant building, it could be a percentage of what it costs to, you know, to shovel the sidewalks and
mm-hmm.
clean off the parking lot or do the, you know, cut the grass if there's, you know, common area. If a gross lease, the landlord simply is deciding this is how much I'm going to charge. I take care of all the expenses. So the
mm-hmm.
landlord is, or at least, you know, you gross it up, so to speak,
sure.
to cover what they anticipate to be the expenses. So that's
mm-hmm.
kind of the two different models of commercial leases that are out there.
Now we need to get into like some of the protections that you have to take into consideration. And a couple of these would be having the brewer and the key employee sign non-compete agreements. Talk about that a little bit.
Well, you don't want to have your brewer with access to all your recipes not have some understanding that he or she is not allowed to take them with them.
Becoming disgruntled and deciding to go somewhere else.
Exactly. And by the same token, you know, whether it be Minnesota or any place else, the brewery business is booming these days.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a lot of competition for a good brewer.
Mm-hmm.
So you may have an employment agreement that is part protecting trade secrets and acknowledging mm-hmm. that recipes that the brewer creates during his or her time with employed by that brewery belong to the company.
Mm-hmm.
You may have a covenant not to compete, which says for, you know, 12 months or 24 months after mm-hmm. they leave, they can't work for a competitor.
Mm-hmm.
And you also may have some stock options. You may mm-hmm. have some incentives for them to stay and have them feel like they're building a part of this business
sure.
as a way of recruiting them over to your company as opposed to going with somebody else.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a little bit, it's kind of some things benefit the brewer, some things benefit the company. And one thing to remember, in Minnesota, as in most states, we are an at-will employment state.
Mm-hmm.
People can quit their job for any reason. Employers can fire somebody for any reason or no reason, absent a contract. So this mm-hmm. is why we want to have a good, if you have your master brewer, you want to have a good employment contract with them to make sure that the recipes are protected, that they aren't going to go out and move down the road and work for somebody else.
Sure.
That could hurt you. And then also you're going to have some kind of incentive for them to, it could be stock options or even some kind of a profit sharing phantom stock type thing.
Very nice. So what about financial considerations? Because there's always a need for money in any organization that you're starting up. So let's talk about raising money for the brewery.
Kevin, this is probably the biggest area of concern for breweries now
mm-hmm.
is funding them. You have, you know, we want to get some amount of money through a bank loan. That, you know, the SBA is great for, you know, has a lot of enough loan programs. A lot of banks are SBA approved so that you can go through your local bank. I would start there, find out how much they're willing to lend you,
mm-hmm.
and then you'll know how much else you need. To start a brewery, depending on your size, you're looking at anywhere from $500,000 to $1 million to get it up and running. That's, you know, covering lease costs, paying your professionals like your attorneys, buying equipment, which is not cheap. In the early days of this whole brewery boom, it was easier to find used equipment. Now you have to buy new.
Mm-hmm.
So this is a big concern. Now, the thing with securities is you want to find an exemption from registration. Registration is, you know, that's what we talk about, like a public company, okay?
Mm-hmm.
A small business like a startup brewery does not need to be a public company,
mm-hmm.
okay? So you want to find an exemption from registration. The easiest way to raise money for your brewery is to look for what we call accredited investors.
Mm-hmm.
These are folks that have a lot of different criteria, but I'll boil it down. $1 million net worth, not including your primary residence.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. If you do that, the federal laws, the state securities laws, which you also have to comply with, the disclosure requirements are far less. The filing requirements are far less. And by the same token, the attorney's fees are far less to prepare all the disclosure documents.
Sure. So you can give somebody some good advice on how to actually save some money in raising money for their organization.
Exactly.
Kevin Hunter with Jeff O'Brien here on the Business Forum Show talking about a startup brewery and the 10 legal steps in getting one started. If you have questions for Jeff O'Brien, you can reach him at joebrien@lohman.com. Again, that's joebrien@lohman.com. And we'll be back here in just a moment to talk about the final steps and considerations to getting your brewery started. Again, Kevin Hunter with Jeff O'Brien here on the Business Forum Show. We'll be back in a moment. Stay tuned. Been listening to the Business Forum Show, broadcasting worldwide on Blog Talk Radio, Liberated Syndication, iTunes, and multiple media channels connected to the TBFS radio network. If you have any questions or comments for our staff, please reach out to us at info@thebusinessforumshow.com. On behalf of David Ford, Jeff O'Brien, and the TBFS radio staff, I'm Kevin Hunter. Thanks for listening.